You're listening to Eurofolkradio.com, a voice for European people worldwide. Psalm 91, known as the Soldier's Song. He that dwells in the secret place of Elyon, who abides under the shadow of the Shaddai, he is saying of Yahweh, my refuge and my stronghold, my Elohim in whom I trust. For he delivers you from the snare of a trapper, from the destructive pestilence. He covers you with his feathers, and under his wings you take refuge. His truth is a shield and armor. You are not afraid of the dread by night, or of the arrow that flies by day, of the pestilence that walks in darkness, or of destruction that ravages at midday. 1,000 fall at your side, and 10,000 at your right hand, but it does not come near you. Only with your eyes you look on and see the reward of the morally wrong, because you have made Yahweh, my refuge, the Elyon, your dwelling place. No evil befalls you, and a plague does not come near your tent, for he commands his messengers concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They bear you up in their hands, lest you dash your foot against a stone. You tread upon lions and cobra, young lion and jackal you trample underfoot. Because he cleaves to me in love, therefore I deliver him. I set him on high because he has known my name. When he calls on me, I answer him. I am with him in distress. I deliver him and honor him. With long life I fill him and show him my deliverance.
Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ the royal master leads against the foe.
Ah, yes, shalom aleichem to all my pure-blooded white Christian Israelite brothers and sisters out there. The show is Word for Word. I'm Pastor Steve, and this show is for the 7th of March, 2018. We are in the book of Jasher, Sefer HaYashar, the book of the upright. We're going to be covering chapter 57 today. It's a big, long one, as 56 was on Monday. Let me give my website, and we'll get right into the meat of the text here. It is https, as in sugar, ://, www.pastor, P-A-S-T-O-R, -steve.com. All the word for word shows are there. Wake up call, links to two Steeline sites. Tells you in items for sale how to get my translation of the Torah with either the pastor's version with the Hebrew or just the student version without the Hebrew. If you don't understand Hebrew, you don't need to spend the extra money for the pastor's version. It's pretty complicated, and it is big. These are not little bitty pocket Bibles. It's the five books of Moses, and it's 8.5 by 11, and the chapter notes are sometimes longer than the chapters. So I really get into it and give detailed notes. Well, let's get into chapter 57. In 56, we had Esau and his sons refusing to let Jacob be buried in the cave of Machpelah, and they fought against the sons of Jacob, and Esau himself was killed, and they just defeated very badly the sons of Esau. That's the nature of the Edomites. He always hated Jacob, never did forgive him for taking the birthright, which was engineered by Yahweh. But Esau just was evil. He bred with the Hittites, and his seed line was of cursed seed after that. And the book of Obadiah tells you all about what's going to happen with Edom. They're doing the same thing today they did back then. They're deceivers, liars, and very violent. So, chapter 57, verse 1. This is a continuing battle. And it was after this that the sons of Esau waged war with the sons of Jacob. And the sons of Esau fought with the sons of Jacob in Hebron. And Esau was still dead and not buried. He was just laying there. And they just kept on. They didn't even bury him. Verse 2. And the battle was heavy between them, and the sons of Esau were smitten before the sons of Jacob. And the sons of Jacob slew of the sons of Esau 80 men, and not one died of the people of the sons of Jacob. And the hand of Yosef prevailed over all the people of the sons of Esau, and he took Zepho, the son of Eliphaz, the son of Esau, and 50 of his men captive. And he bound them with chains of iron and gave them into the hand of his servants to bring them to Mitzrayim, because Yosef was ruling in Mitzrayim, and he was going to make them slaves, because they were evil and they deserved it. Verse 3. And it came to pass when the sons of Jacob had taken Zepho and his people captive, all those that remained were greatly afraid of their lives from the house of Esau, lest they should also be taken captive. And they all fled with Eliphaz, the son of Esau, and his people, with Esau's body, and they went on their road to Mount Seir. Well, they finally got around in verse 4 here. Verse 4, and they came
unto Mount Seir, and they buried Esau in Seir. But they had not brought his head with them to Seir, for it was buried in that place where the battle had been in Hebron. So his body was buried in one place, and his head was buried in another. Oh, man. Verse 5, and it came to pass, when the sons of Esau had fled from before the sons of Yaakov, the sons of Yaakov pursued them unto the border of Seir. But they did not slay a single man from amongst them when they pursued them. For Esau's body, which they carried with them, and it has excited in italics here, their confusion. So they fled, and the sons of Yaakov turned back from them and came up to the place where their brethren were in Hebron. And they remained there on that day and on the next day until they rested from the battle. In other words, they ran all the Edomites back to Seir. Verse 6, and it came to pass on the third day, they assembled all the sons of Seir the Horite, that's Hori in Hebrew, and they assembled all the children of the east, a multitude of people like the sand of the sea. And they went and came down to Mitzrayim to fight with Yosef and his brethren to deliver their brethren. Verse 7, and Yosef and all the sons of Yaakov heard that the sons of Esau and the children of the east had come upon them to battle to deliver their brethren. Verse 8, and Yosef and his brethren and the strong men of Mitzrayim went forth and fought in the city of Raamses. And Yosef and his brethren dealt out a tremendous blow among the sons of Esau and the children of the east. Now, I'm going to give you a figure of men slain. They had entire nation against nation back then. So this is not an unrealistic figure. Verse 9. And they slew of them 600,000 men. And they slew amongst them all the mighty of the children of Seir, the Hori. There were only a few of them left. And they slew a great many of the children of the east, and of the children of Esau, and Eliphaz the son of Esau, and the children of the east all fled before Yosef and his brethren. So they whooped them again. Verse 10. And Yosef and his brethren pursued them until they came unto Sukkot. And they yet slew of them in Sukkot 30 men. And the rest escaped, and they fled each to his city. In other words, they all went home. They didn't want any more of Yosef and his brethren, because they just couldn't stand against them. Verse 12, and Zepho, the son of Eliphaz, and his men were still slaves in Mitzrayim to the sons of Yaakov, and their pains increased. Verse 13. And when the sons of Esau and the sons of Seir returned to their land, the sons of Seir saw that they had all fallen into the hands of the sons of Jacob and Mitzrayim on account of the battle of the sons of Esau. Verse 14. This is going to come back on the sons of Esau. And the sons of Seir said unto the sons of Esau, you have seen, and you know that this camp was on your account, and not one mighty man or an adept in war remains. Verse 15. Now therefore go forth from our land, go from us to the land of Canaan, to the land of the dwelling of your fathers. Wherefore shall your children inherit of our children in latter days? In other words, what will you inherit from us in your latter days? Okay, they were going to run them off. Verse 16. And the children of Esau would not listen to the children of Seir, and the children of Seir considered to make war with them. Verse 17. And the children of Esau sent secretly, more deception from the Edomites, more deception. They sent secretly to Angeas, king of Africa, the same is Dinhaba, saying, send unto us some of your men, and let them come unto us, and we will fight together with the children of Seir the Hori, for they have resolved to fight with us to drive us away from the land. Verse 19. And Angeas, king of Dinhaba, did so, for he was in those days friendly to the children of Esau. And Angeas sent 500 valiant infantry to the children of Esau and 800 cavalry. Verse 20. And the children of Seir sent unto the children of the east and unto Midian, saying, you have seen what the children of Esau have done to us, upon whose account we are all destroyed, and their battles with the sons of Jacob. Now come unto us and assist us, and we will fight them together, and we will drive them from the land and be avenged of the cause of our brethren who died for their sakes in their battle with their brethren, the sons of Jacob. Because they still considered them brethren with the Hebrews, which was in error because they were half-breed mutts. They were no longer brothers with the sons of Jacob. They were mongrels. And the sons of Jacob were all pure blood Israelites. Verse 22. And pardon me just a second. I've got to clear my throat. I've got a frog again. Just a second. Ah, that's a little better. Now I need a little sip of coffee. Oh, that's hot. Verse 22. And all the children of the east, that would be the Arabs, listened to the children of Seir, and they came unto them about 800 men with drawn swords. And the children of Esau fought with the children of Seir at that time in the wilderness of Paran. So they were fighting the children of Seir because they wanted to kick them out of their land. Well, we want to kick them out of ours too, so I can understand that. Verse 23. And the children of Seir prevailed over the sons of Esau, and the children of Seir slew on that day of the children of Esau in that battle about 200 men of the people of Angeas, king of Dinhabah. Verse 24, another day of battle. And on the second day, the children of Esau came again to fight a second time with the children of Seir. And the battle was sore upon the children of Esau this second time, and it troubled them greatly on account of the children of Seir. Now listen to this. These are Edomites. Okay? The children of Esau are Edomites. Verse 25. Pay attention. And when the children of Esau saw that the children of Seir were more powerful than they were, some men of the children of Esau turned and assisted the children of Seir, their enemies. They fell on their own brethren. That's your Edomite. They turned on their own. They're traitors. Verse 26. And there fell yet of the people of the children of Esau in the second battle 58 men of the people of Angeas, king of Dinhabah. Verse 27. And on the third day, the children of Esau heard that some of their brethren had turned from them to fight against them in the second battle. And the children of Esau mourned when they heard this thing. Verse 28. And they said, what shall we do? Do to our brethren who turn from us to assist the children of Seir, our enemies. And the children of Esau again sent to Angeas, king of Dinhabah, saying, send unto us again other men, that with them we may fight with the children of Seir. For they have already twice been heavier than we were. And heavier here is an idiom for being mightier in battle. Verse 30. And Angeas again sent to the children of Esau about 600 valiant men, and they came to assist the children of Esau. Verse 31. And in 10 days' time, the children of Esau again waged war with the children of Seir in the wilderness of Paran. And the battle was very severe upon the children of Seir. And the children of Esau prevailed at this time over the children of Seir. And the children of Seir were smitten before the children of Esau, and the children of Esau slew from them about 2,000 men. Okay, verse 32. Here's a game changer. And all the mighty men of the children of Seir died in this battle, and there only remained their young children that were left in the cities. Now remember, Seir allied with Midian, the Midianites. Verse 33, and all Midian and the children of the east, who were also allies, betook themselves to flight from the battle. And they left the children of Seir and fled when they saw that the battle was severe upon them. And the children of Esau pursued all the children of east until they reached their land. In other words, they cut and run. Verse 34, and the children of Esau slew yet of them about 250 men. And from the people of the children of Esau, there fell in that battle about 30 men. But this evil came upon them through their brethren turning from them to assist the children of Seir the Horite. And the children of Esau again heard of the evil doings of their brethren, and they again mourned on account of this thing. They had a bunch of turncoats in their ranks that were going to join and fight with the enemy. That's their nature. Me, 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 whatever's good for me, whatever I see an advantage, I'm going to take it, and to heck with everybody else. That's the way of Edom. That was the way then, that's the way now. They fight among themselves yet today. Verse 35, and it came to pass after the battle, the children of Esau turned back and came home unto Seir, and the children of Esau slew those who had remained in the land of the children of Seir. They slew also their wives and little ones. They left not a soul alive except 50 young lads and damsels, whom they suffered to live. And the children of Esau did not put them to death. And the lads became their slaves, and the damsels they took for wives. After all that treachery, verse 36, and the children of Esau dwelt in Seir, in the place of the children of Seir, and they inherited their land and took possession of it. Verse 37, and the children of Esau took all belonging in the land to the children of Seir, also their flocks, their bullocks, and their goods, and all belonging to the children of Seir did the children of Esau take. And the children of Esau dwelt in Seir in the place of the children of Seir unto this day. And the children of Esau divided the land into divisions to the five sons of Esau according to their families. In other words, they killed all the original Seirites, and they made the boys slaves and the girls they took for wives. Well, they were Canaanites, so it didn't matter. because Esau's sons were half Canaanite. So, more race mixing. Verse 38. And it came to pass in those days that the children of Esau resolved to crown a king over them in the land of which they became possessed. And they said to each other, "Not so, for he shall reign over us in our land, and we shall be under his counsel, and he shall fight our battles against our enemies." And they did so, and all the children of Esau swore, saying, that none of their brethren should ever reign over them, but a strange man who was not of their brethren. For the souls of all the children of Esau were embittered, every man against his son, brother, and friend, on account of the evil they sustained from their brethren when they fought with the children of Seir. They were bitter because their own families were traitors. Oh, what a tangled web they weave, the Edomites. Notice the similarities today. They'll throw one another under the bus. They don't care. They only love themselves. Verse 40. Therefore, the sons of Esau swore, saying, from that day forward they would not choose a king from their brethren, but one from a strange land unto this day. So you're not going to get this in the King James Bible. You're just not going to get it. There's so much more going on than what they tell you. Verse 41. And there was a man there from the people of Angeas, king of Dinhaba. His name was Bela, the son of Beor, who was a very valiant man. Beautiful and comely and wise in all wisdom, and a man of sense and counsel. And there was none of the people of Angeas like unto him. And all the children of Esau took him and anointed him, and they crowned him for a king, and they bowed down to him, and they said unto him, "May the king live. May the king live." Verse 43. And they spread out the sheet, and they brought him each man earrings of gold and silver, or rings or bracelets, and they made him very rich in silver and in gold, in onyx stones and bdellium. That's amber, or a fragrant spice that's amber, which is like a jewel. It's fossilized tree sap. And they made him a royal throne, and they placed a regal crown upon his head, and they built a palace for him, and he dwelt therein, and he became king over all the children of Esau. And the people of Angeas took their hire for their battle from the children of Esau, and they went, and they returned at that time to their master in Dinhaba. And Bela reigned over the children of Esau 30 years, and the children of Esau dwelt in the land instead of the children of Seir, and they dwelt securely in their place or their stead unto this day, because they killed them all. That ends chapter 57. Well, we're right at the half hour mark, and 58's not all that long, so I'm going to launch into 58. We've seen the nature of the Edomites, so here in this last chapter. This is verse 1 of chapter 58. And it came to pass in the 32nd year of the Israelites going down to Mitzrayim, that is in the 71st year of the life of Yosef, In that year died Pharao, king of Mitzrayim, and Magron, his son, reigned in his stead. Verse 2. And Pharao, he was now Pharao, commanded Yosef before his death to be a father to his son Magron, and that Magron should be under the care of Yosef and under his counsel. They were all called Pharao at that point. Verse 3, and all Mitzrayim consented to this thing, that Yosef should be king over them, for all the Mitzri, those are the Egyptians, loved Yosef as of heretofore. Only Magron, the son of Pharao, sat upon his father's throne, and he became king in those days in his father's stead. In other words, he was in his place. Verse 4. Magron was 41 years old when he began to reign, and 40 years he reigned at Mitzrayim. And all Mitzrayim called his name Pharao, after the name of his father, as it was their custom to do in Mitzrayim to every king that reigned over them. Verse 5. And it came to pass, when Pharao reigned in his father's stead, he placed the laws of Mitzrayim and all the affairs of government in the hand of Yosef, as his father had commanded him. Verse 6. And Yosef became king over Mitzrayim, for he superintended over all Mitzrayim, and all Mitzrayim was under his care and under his counsel. For all Mitzrayim inclined to Joseph after the death of Pharao, and they loved him exceedingly to reign over them. They never had it so good as when he was reigning. That's why. Verse 7. But there were some people amongst them who did not like him, saying, "No stranger shall reign over us." The seeds of discontent. Still, the whole government of Mitzrayim devolved in those days upon Yosef after the death of Pharao, the first one. Okay, he being the regulator, doing as he liked throughout the land without anyone interfering. Well, he was a very competent administrator, and everybody was prospering. Verse 8. And all Mitzrayim was under the care of Yosef, and Yosef made war with all his surrounding enemies, and he subdued them. Also all the land and all the Pelishtim, that's the Philistines, unto the border of Canaan did Yosef subdue. And they were all under his power, and they gave a yearly tax unto Yosef. Verse 9, and Pharao, king of Mitzrayim, sat upon his throne in his father's stead, but he was under the control and counsel of Yosef, as he was at first under the control of his father. Verse 10, neither did he reign, but in the land of Mitzrayim only, under the counsel of Yosef. But Yosef reigned over the whole country at that time, from Mitzrayim unto the great river Paroth. That's the Euphrates River. Verse 11. And Yosef was successful in all his ways. And Yahweh was with him. Okay. And Yahweh gave Yosef additional wisdom and honor and glory and love in the hearts of the Mizraim and throughout the land. And Yosef reigned over the whole country 40 years. Verse 12. And all the countries of the Philistim and Canaan and Zidon and on the other side of the Jordan, that's the Jordan River, brought presents unto Yosef all his days, and the whole country was in the hand of Yosef, and they brought unto him a yearly tribute, as it was regulated. For Yosef had fought against all his surrounding enemies and subdued them, and the whole country was in the hand of Yosef, and Yosef sat securely upon his throne in Mizraim. Verse 13. And also all his brethren, the sons of Jacob, dwelt securely in the land all the days of Yosef. And they were fruitful and multiplied exceedingly in the land. And they served Yahweh all their days as their father Jacob had commanded them. Verse 14, and it came to pass at the end of many days and years, when the children of Esau were dwelling quietly in their land with Bela their king, that the children of Esau were fruitful and multiplied in the land, and they resolved to go and fight with the sons of Jacob and all Mizraim, and to deliver their brother Zepho, the sons of Eliphaz and his men, for they were yet in those days slaves to Yosef. Here they come again, the Edomites. Oh! Verse 15. And the children of Esau sent unto all the children of the east, and they made peace with them. And all the children of the east came unto them to go with the children of Esau to Mizraim to battle. Verse 16. And there came also unto them of the people of Angeas, king of Dinhabah, and they also sent unto the children of Ishmael, and they also came unto them. Verse 17. And all this people assembled and came unto Seir to assist the children of Esau in their battle. And this camp was very large and heavy with people, numerous as the sand of the sea, about 800,000 men, infantry and cavalry. And all these troops went down to Mizraim to fight with the sons of Jacob, and they encamped by Raamses. Verse 18, and Yosef went forth with his brethren with the mighty men of Mizraim, about 600 men. That's against 800,000. And they fought with them in the land of Raamses, and the sons of Jacob at that time again fought with the children of Esau in the 50th year of the sons of Jacob going down to Mizraim. That is the 30th year of the reign of Bela over the children of Esau in Seir. Verse 19, pay attention. And Yahweh gave all the mighty men of Esau and the children of the east into the hands of Yosef and his brethren. And the people of the children of Esau and the children of the east were smitten before Yosef. That's 600 men against 800,000. Yahweh was in that battle. Verse 20. And of the people of Esau and the children of the east that were slain, there fell before the sons of Jacob about 200,000 men. And their king Bela, the son of Beor, fell with them in the battle. And when the children of Esau saw that their king had fallen in battle and was dead, their hands became weak in the combat. 21. And Yosef and his brethren, all Egypt, were still smiting the people of the house of Esau, and all Esau's people were afraid of the sons of Jacob and fled from before them. There's your Edomite warriors. Verse 22. And Yosef and his brethren and all Mitzrayim pursued them a day's journey, and they slew yet from them about 300 men, continuing to smite them in the road, and they afterward turned back from them. Verse 23. And Yosef and all his brethren returned to Mitzrayim. Not one man was missing from them. But of the Mitzrayim, there fell 12 men. Verse 24. And when Yosef returned to Mitzrayim, he ordered Zepho and his men to be additionally bound, and they bound them in irons, and they increased their grief as punishment. Verse 25, and all the people of the children of Esau and the children of the east returned in shame, each unto his city, for all the mighty men that were with them had fallen in battle. Verse 26, and when the children of Esau saw that their king had died in battle, they hastened and took a man from the people of the children of the east. His name was Jobab, the son of Zarach, from the land of Botsra. And they caused him to reign over them instead of Bela, their king. Verse 27. And Jobab sat upon the throne of Bela as king in his stead. And Jobab reigned in Edom over all the children of Esau 10 years. And the children of Esau went no more to fight with the sons of Jacob from that day forward. For the sons of Esau knew the valor of the sons of Jacob, and they were greatly afraid of them. Now listen to verse 28. But from that day forward, the children of Esau hated the sons of Jacob, and the hatred and enmity were very strong between them all the days unto this day. Unto this day here, folks, they hate real Israel. This is Edom. And you see their actions in the world today. They have not changed. Verse 29. And it came to pass after this, at the end of 10 years, Jobab, the son of Zarach, from Botsra, died. And the children of Esau took a man whose name was Cusham, from the land of Teman. That's one of the dukes of Eden. And they made him king over them instead of Jobab. And Cusham reigned in Edom over all the children of Esau for 20 years. Verse 30. And Yosef, king of Mitzrayim, and his brethren and all the children of Israel dwelt securely in Egypt, that's Mitzrayim, in those days, together with all the children of Yosef and his brethren, having no hindrance or evil accident, and the land of Mitzrayim was at that time at rest from war, in the days of Yosef and his brethren. So that is some excellent management by Yosef. I mean, he was a superior manager. And while he reigned, everybody prospered. There was no war. And finally, the war stopped when they completely smashed the Edomites. Now, we're in a position where we're going to have to do that again. They are not backing off. They're not quitting. They're enacting evil laws. They're doing all their stuff. Attacking. They want to denigrate and decimate and absolutely eliminate the white people of all the lands. And they've got all the others, including race traitors from among our own racial demographic that are more interested in stuff and don't have faith in Yahweh. They're interested in the money, and that's all they're interested in. They don't care about their own people. Now, that's going to come back and bite them, because they're going to be numbered among the tares, and they're going to be bundled and burned right along with the Edomites. But that's the worst thing that you can do, is betray your own people. And that is what they are doing. They're doing that. What can I say, you know? We're going to have to deal with these people. They are very secure in their arrogance right now. They really don't know what's coming. They don't have a clue. They don't believe in Yahweh. They don't believe in the prophecies. They're going to find out a hard, hard, harsh lesson. And what can I say about that? There's nothing we can do to help them, because they won't listen to us. They just want to be rich, famous. They want all this stuff that they're worshiping. And we try to tell them about Yahweh's laws, and they absolutely just ignore us. What do you do with people like that? I mean, they're making their bed, and they're going to have to lie in it. And it's not going to be pretty. And I just... I grieve, because some of our own people are in this group. I'm not talking about Christian identists. I'm talking about just white folks, okay? Just regular old white people. We're going to lose them. They're digging a hole for themselves. They're engineering their own destruction, because when Yahshua returns, and he will, we're coming down the end of this game playing that we're in right now with these people. It's going to be a bloodbath. They're not going to be ready for what's going to happen to them. They're living in la-la land right now, because they've got all these armed police, and they think that they're going to be protected. They've got all these laws on their side. And when it all breaks down and there is no law, there is not going to be any protection. There's going to be vengeance. There's going to be wrath. There's going to be destruction. Because Yahweh is going to end the grace period. There's not going to be any grace period. It'll be over. Then what are they going to do? They're not going to have any chance at salvation. Not going to have any chance at a future. They are destroying themselves. All right. That's going to be their fate. What do we do? Okay, we that are believers that do call on Yahweh, that do believe and do worship Him, we are to prepare. We are to get ready to fight this battle, because we will be involved in it. We need to make sure our families can survive. You're going to have to need supplies, food, water. Weapons are going to be for the asking. They'll be laying all over. But it would not hurt for you to be well armed and have sufficient ammunition so that if you run low on what you've got for the particular weapon you've got, that you can pick up another weapon and accumulate ammo for that. You're going to have to be able to defend yourself and even attack at that point. We're going to have to go after some people. We haven't been given the go order yet from Yahweh. He will give us a sign when it's time to break loose. It's going to be ugly. Not going to be pleasant. Not going to be like in the movies. It's going to be street to street. I'm just telling you this ahead of time so you can think on it and make your plans. Everybody's situation is different. You're going to have to make individual plans. I can't give a blanket scenario. But as we saw in the book of Yashar, the Edomites will turn and fight among themselves as well. They're not going to be a united front. They have their power plays. They're all united against us, but their minions will suffer what the minions suffered in this book. They will be terrified, because the wrath of the awakened Saxon is a terrible thing to behold. Well, I'm almost down to the end of my hour here. I will be back on Friday. We will be beginning in chapter 59. And I will say, may Yahweh bless and keep you. And I will talk to you again on, tomorrow. I'm going to have a wake-up call. So, tomorrow. Talk to you later. Praise Yahweh.
Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ the royal master leads against